Oh, Lord, we pray, speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We're ready for your word. Father, we pray now that you will bless our time in your word, that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory to you. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how many of you have your outline? If you have your outline, say amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download the outline by going to our app. Go to your app store, wherever you get your apps, Google Store, and download the Good Hope Church app. Or you can go to our website, goodhope.org. And you can download the app there. So I've got a little quiz for you today. What makes it the hardest for you to forgive someone who's done you wrong? What makes it the hardest for you to forgive someone who's done you wrong? Let me give you the five choices. Put them on the screen, if you will. Master control. A, what the person did was so bad. B, the person kept or keeps doing the same thing over and over. C, the person won't apologize for what they did. D, the person hasn't asked for forgiveness. Or E, the person doesn't deserve forgiveness. Which one of those? Circle the answer, if you will. Which one of them? Now, for some of you, you may want to circle more than one, right? Maybe I should have added F, all of the above. Which one of those things make it the hardest for you to forgive someone who's done you wrong? Now, here's something that I want you to recognize as you look at these five choices. The problem with these choices is not that they are not true. It's not that they are not accurate. It's not that they don't capture your experience around this issue or this person. Here's the problem. Each of these choices communicates that your ability to forgive is based on what somebody else does. In other words, they have done you wrong, but because they haven't done the right thing after doing the wrong thing, they are still controlling, in a very real sense, your fellowship, your walk with the Lord. See, here's what you and I need to understand about forgiveness and the relationship between prayer and forgiveness. You have control of your giving the gift of forgiveness. As a matter of fact, can I tell you something? The first person that you give the gift of forgiveness to is not the other person, it's really yourself. When you learn how to truly forgive, when you learn how to truly release what has happened in your past, you've learned how to let it go, you give yourself a gift. Now, here's the problem for too many of us. For too many of us, we won't do the right thing if we think somebody else will benefit from it, even if we will benefit from it. Let me give you an example. Some people call it cutting off your nose to spite your face. You know, hey, man, if you do this, you're going to make $1 million. But if you make $1 million, all the folk you can't stand are going to make $1 million. Well, they ain't going to make no $1 million off of me. He'd be like, no, 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 no. But you're going to get $1 million if you do this. Yeah, but he ain't going to get no million off of me. So we rather pass on a blessing than to give somebody the opportunity to be blessed after we've been blessed. When we learn how to forgive, the first person that receives the gift and the blessing of forgiveness is not somebody else, it's us. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to pray to experience the freeing power of forgiveness. How to pray to experience the freeing power of forgiveness. Our foundational text is Matthew, chapter 6. Can I tell you something that really hit me this week as I was preparing this message? I was thinking this emphasis on prayer, and I think most of you who have been participating in the prayer experience since we started in the pilot groups in January of 2023 and have been walking through this as a church, I think most of you would confess that you see prayer in a different way. Prayerfully, you are praying more effectively and you are praying more often. But here's what hit me. If we don't get this forgiveness thing right, our prayers will be a waste of time. If we don't understand that forgiveness is in our hands and not in the hands of others, we will miss the blessings that God makes available to us, and our prayers won't be answered because our prayers will be hindered. Now, our text today is pulling out of what we typically call the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. It's the model prayer. And it's not a prayer that we are to recite as a prayer or memorize as a prayer. It literally gives us a template of the things that should be part of our prayer experience. That when we pray, we should hallow the name of God. We should treat the name of God holy. We should have a plurality in our prayer. Our late pastor emeritus, Dr. Crawford Kimball, would say we need an usness in our prayer. And so he would say that when the disciples were taught to pray, Jesus would say, give us this day, right? Not y'all, not I, but there should be an usness in our prayers. We should not be selfish in our prayers. But when we get to verse 12 in particular, we get to the closing aspects of this prayer, Jesus challenges the disciples, as he often does, with something that they have never heard before in regards to prayer. Now he's already challenged them multiple times. He's going to challenge them regarding their view of their enemies. He's going to challenge them regarding their view of giving. He's going to challenge them in regards to their view of sharing. But when he gets into Matthew chapter 6 and gets down around verse 12, Jesus starts challenging the conventional wisdom and thoughts around prayer. And I want us to think about it today as we go into this prayer emphasis week. As you spend time, those of you who are enrooted, you spend time fasting and praying. The PDL groups, as you make a concerted effort to pray every day this week, as you go online and pull back up that prayer acronym and the explanation so you understand how to infuse praise and repentance and asking and yielding in your prayer experience, what is Jesus concerned about that can hinder all of our prayers and the need that we have to have communion with God more than anything else? Here's the first thing. Number one, you must pray to experience forgiveness from God. You must pray. Realize you must pray to experience forgiveness from God. Matthew 6, verse 12, Jesus is giving the disciples this model prayer. And he says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. God has given you and I certain responsibilities, certain things to do and certain things not to do. And every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves and honest with those who are around us, have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. Now, we know that based on our salvation experience with the Lord, we were initially saved from the penalty of sin. But in this Christian walk, we are constantly dealing with the power of sin. over our lives. We're in this constant battle. Paul says, when I would do good, evil is always present, right? We are in this constant battle and we will fall short. And when we fall short, it's incumbent upon us not to live in denial of our frailties and in denial of our sinful humanity, but it's important for us to be honest with God and to ask the Lord for forgiveness. So whether it is a sin of omission, something we have left undone, or a sin of commission, something that we have done, whether it's a sin that we have committed overtly, out in the public, covertly, under the cover of darkness and secrecy, or something we have done inadvertently. We didn't mean to do it, but it just happened. He says we've got to learn how to ask God to forgive us. That word for forgive means to lay aside, let alone, let it go. It is this idea of accountability that is satisfied, because when we come and ask for forgiveness, we are no longer held to the charge of the guilt that came with the action that we did. Now, here's what I've learned. You can live in denial of your sin, and living in denial of your sin or failing to call it sin will not absolve you of your sin, right? It's kind of like the law. You will hear people talk about the law, and judges and attorneys, police officers will tell you that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Like, you can sit there and say, well, I didn't know, right? But here's the truth of the matter. Most of us, we know when we do wrong. We don't need a whole lot of preaching to point out our sins. Matter of fact, typically when you have a preacher who's going down a list of sins and he starts talking about sins, the only amens are by the people who aren't guilty of the sins that he's talking about. I always told my students, you should never preach for cheap amens. And they said, what's a cheap amen, Prof? And I said, a cheap amen is an amen that doesn't cost you anything. It costs your neighbor something. You know, all y'all need to cut out that smoking, all that smoking you're doing. And all of the non-smokers loudly say amen, right? And he's saying, and all you whoremongers, you need to cut out that running and slipping and sliding and ducking and dodging. And all the folk who are faithful in their relationship with their spouse or pretending to be faithful, say amen real loud. That's a cheap amen. That's an amen at somebody else's expense. But at the end of the day, you all, we have to look in the mirror of God's word, and we've got to face God for ourselves. And we've got to go to God and ask God for forgiveness. The word debt is an interesting word there. It literally means something that's owed. But in this context, it's speaking to a moral failure or moral fault. It was, in the ancient Greek, a common word used to refer to an actual legal debt. But here, the debt is not legal. It is a moral debt. It is a spiritual debt to God. And when we come and ask God for forgiveness, listen carefully. This is not a plea of merit. This is a plea for grace, to say, God, forgive me. Now, don't make the mistake of some people thinking that your sin is really not sin because your sin is less than somebody else's sin. You know, we look at other people and we say, Pastor, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I ain't as bad as, or I'm a whole lot better than I. Okay, you may be less sinful. You may not be doing it to the same degree that you used to do it. You may have been not just a professing sinner, but a professional sinner in your past. But the truth of the matter is, a sin is a sin, and forgiveness is needed nevertheless. And so the Bible says we've got to learn how to pray and ask God to forgive us. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 8. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. Let's read Isaiah 55 together. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The move away from God and the move back towards God is not a geographical move. It is a spiritual move that we are to make. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me move to the second thing. If you're going to pray to experience the freeing power of forgiveness, you must pray so you can give and express forgiveness to others. You pray to experience forgiveness yourself, but the scripture says you also need to pray so that you can give and express forgiveness to others. We pray to get forgiveness, but we also pray and must pray to give forgiveness to others. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, I'm going to talk more about that sentence structure in just a moment, because when we pray, Jesus says, ask the Lord to forgive you like you have forgiven other people. Now, y'all, that's kind of a hard thing to come to grips with, especially when you've been holding on to something for a long time. Everybody under the sound of my voice can think back to a time in your life where you've held on to something and not let it go, whether the person has asked for your forgiveness or not. And Jesus says, you literally set the standard by which the Lord will forgive you. He looks at how you forgive other people. Look at Luke 17, beginning at verse 3. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive. Matthew 18, that famous conversation between Jesus and Peter. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some translations say seven times 70. Here's basically what the Lord says. You should never allow your forgiveness from God to be controlled by somebody else's actions or attitude. And when you fail to forgive because of what somebody else has done or hasn't done, you are letting that person, who many times has moved on with their life, to control your fellowship with God. Don't allow other people to control how you walk with God. Realize you are responsible to seek forgiveness from God and to give forgiveness to others. And here's the truth of the matter. Jesus says if they ask for it, you should forgive, but you really are not even obligated to wait for them to ask. You have the power to forgive whether they ask or not. Because when you learn how to forgive, regardless of whether they ask for it or not, you set yourself free. think about this for a moment. Share out of my own life. Many of you know that my father and I had a very, very good relationship when I was growing up. But as I moved into adulthood, our relationship went another direction, and he decided that he was going to sever any relationship he would have with me. And there were reasons for it. And I reached out to him because he was still my father. It wasn't necessarily anything that I did to him or anything that he did to me personally. Stuff that went on in the family, things that happened between he and my mother. And I still felt an obligation to reach out to him because I wanted him to know that I had forgiven him. Listen to me carefully. What I did not agree with and what I did not condone, I could understand. Are you listening to me? I didn't sign off on what he did. I didn't agree with what he did. I did not bless what he did, but I could understand it. I understood it. And all I wanted to tell him was that I loved him, I forgave him, and I hope we can move on. And he passed away before I could do that. Now, he passed away before I could do it. I wasn't even asking for him to ask for forgiveness. It didn't matter to me whether he asked for it or not, because I had already blessed myself with the gift of forgiving him. And so because I had blessed myself with the gift of forgiving him, I wanted to forgive him. He died before I could do it. Now, can you imagine if I had required him to ask for forgiveness before I forgave him? And he died before he asked? I'd still be walking around in pain. I'd still be walking around with the trauma. I'd still be walking around with the anger, with the hatred. I'd still be walking around with all of these feelings, and he's dead and gone. Somebody that's listening right now, somebody that's watching right now, the reason you want to take responsibility to give yourself the gift of forgiveness is because you don't want somebody to control your peace of mind and control your walk with God, and they're in the grave. And for somebody, they may not be in the grave, but they might as well be. You haven't seen them. You haven't talked to them. You don't know where they are. You're not looking for them, and they clearly are not looking for you. And I'm saying to you, give yourself the gift, even if somebody else won't. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Let's go to the last thing, because I want to ask you a question. Who do you need to give forgiveness to? Who do you need to bless with the gift that you have been blessed with? From whom do you need to take back the power over your walk with God? Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize how you forgive others establishes how God can forgive you. You need to realize how you forgive others establishes how God can forgive you. Now, Paul says in Colossians, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Right? Matthew 6, look at verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Paul says, let's start from a place that you should be well acquainted with. The place where God forgave you. Lost and on your way to hell. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And you had all the intentions to make your way to hell. But God saved you by his grace and by his mercy. He looked at your faults and past your faults and saw your needs. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Lord forgave you. The Lord forgave you. And the Lord says, because I forgave you, with all your imperfections, with all of your mess, with all of your sinful actions, attitudes, and associates, despite doing the opposite of what I commanded you to do, I still saved you. And you ain't been much better since you've been saved. God says, but I still keep you. God says, the forgiveness I've given to you, I expect you to give it to others. But watch this. But the forgiveness that I will give to you in the future is going to be determined by how you forgive others. Some of y'all missed it. Let me say it again. God says, I forgave you in a great way. That should be the standard by which you forgive others. But even though I forgave you in a great way of many things, my forgiveness in the future is going to be dependent upon now how you give the forgiveness you have received to other people. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. God said, and when did you deserve it? Yeah, but they mess up over and over again. God said, and you don't? Yeah, but I got to tell them over and over. God said, how many times have I had to tell you over and over again? How many times have you gotten up to receive new mercies and new grace? Not because you did anything the night before to justify it, but simply because I was being God in your life. So here's what he wants you to know. Look at A. Your forgiveness from God is conditional. You have been forgiven and saved from the penalty of sin. But if you want in this journey to be forgiven and saved, sanctified from the power of sin, you got to recognize that forgiveness is conditional. And the condition is, how well are you doing forgiving other people? So Jesus says, God will forgive you exactly the way you forgive others. You want to judge others? God said, okay, I got judgment for you. Y'all, let me tell you something. That's why, man, I don't say a whole lot of stuff about people. I try to say nothing. You know, folks, what do you think about so-and-so? Man, praying for him. You know, praying that strength. Man, I was reading an article just last night about a person who I considered a friend who's in a real tough situation. And, man, I'm not reposting anything. I ain't commentating on nothing. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. And I'm like, look here, if but for the grace of God, there go I. I'm praying for this brother, asking the Lord to strengthen him, asking the Lord to restore him, asking the Lord to do something in his life. See, here's what I've learned, and I wish the body of Christ would learn this. We've been commanded to love, not to judge. Love is part of our job description. Judgment is above our pay grade. We're not qualified to judge. Why? Because all we can do is look at the outward. God looks at what? The heart. And the heart is beyond my purview to judge. I want to love. I want to restore. As much as possible, I want to be what Jesus was and allow people's actions to condemn themselves. But it's not my job to put them in heaven or in hell. Because if but for the grace of God, we would be in the same place. So if you recognize God had to forgive you, for you to be saved, you need to continue to seek forgiveness and you need to give forgiveness to others. Look at B. Your forgiveness of others should be rooted in God's example and his forgiveness of you. If you ever question whether or not you should forgive somebody, ask yourself, if you were in their place and God was in your place, what would you want God to do? Just trade places. If you were in their place and God was in your place, what would God do? Now, let's not quibble over, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin, because most of us use that as an unbiblical excuse to just not like people. No, come on now. That's one of them phrases that we wish was in the Bible that's really not in the Bible, right? But we like to use that to mistreat people, to not speak to people, to not be decent, to not be hospitable, right? To not be professional. No, let's just talk about if they did you wrong and if they were you and you were God, how would you want God to respond? See, the truth of the matter is unforgiveness is many times rooted in self-righteousness. No, it's rooted in you being self-righteous. It's you being of the mindset that you are above them. That somehow you have forgotten from whence you've come, and you have forgotten how the Lord has been gracious in your life. And because you don't do or can't do what you used to do, now you want to condemn somebody who still can do what you can't do anymore. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Luke chapter 6, verses 36 and 37. Let's read it together as we close. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. If they ask you to forgive them, and you don't, God can't forgive you. If they don't ask you to forgive them, and you don't, God can't forgive you. You said, yeah, but they can't come back in my house no more. I ain't say nothing about your house. I ain't say nothing about your house. I'm talking about your heart. Some folk that I wouldn't even pray for, I had to forgive and pray for them from a distance. But that praying for them from a distance was a far cry from where I was when I was first offended. Because when I was first offended, I wanted to lay hands on somebody. See, y'all looking at me real spiritual. Don't judge me. In my mind, I was going some places. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for where I was going in my mind. Man, I had to work through that thing. I had to pray about it. I had to be, Lord, woo. Now I'm like, all right, Lord, you know, you bless, you do what you need to do for them to come and know you as Savior and Lord. And now I'm still not fooling with them, right? Still not fooling because I don't want to tempt myself. Why are y'all looking at me like that? I'm trying to tell you the truth. Y'all acting like I'm the only one that's ever struggled with this thing. And it doesn't matter where it happens. It can happen in your home, on your job, in the church. Because y'all do know this campus is not heaven. And all of the saints don't always act saintly. Come on now. And sometimes, can I tell you what the Lord will do? After this message, the Lord's going to give you a test. He's going to give you a test, and some of you, he's bringing to your remembrance folk you need to forgive. And if you're so spiritual, you don't have any, the Lord will give you somebody who you're going to need to forgive. Get ready for the test, because it sure is coming. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. I just want you to leave with this simple message. Forgiveness is in your hands. Don't put it in somebody else's hands to control your prayer life and control your fellowship with God. Forgiveness is in your hands, and it's a gift that you first must give to yourself. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for somebody else to die. You've got to learn how to let it go. And regardless of what the other person says or does, or what they don't say or do, give yourself the gift that keeps on giving. Ephesians 4:31, let's read it together. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today as we go into this prayer week. I pray that today's message will help release, set somebody free, so that their prayer experience this week will not be a waste of time, that their prayer experience will not be an exercise in futility. I pray, God, as they follow that acronym and they get to that place of repentance, that part of that repentance will be a place of forgiving others. That place of asking will be a place where they will ask for strength and power outside of themselves to forgive others. That place of yield will be a place where they yield to your Holy Spirit to do what they need to do to forgive others. Somebody under the sound of my voice, I pray, God, that this message would help them. For somebody, that person that has done them wrong has gone on with their life. For somebody, the person who did them wrong has passed away. And I pray, God, that they would not allow the bitterness that has come from unforgiveness to not only stain their spirit, but to stain their life. Help them to let it go so that they can move forward. I pray, God, for anybody who up to this point has been too bitter to be blessed. And I pray, God, that you would remind them that they are too blessed to be bitter. Help them to release it and let it go, and to grab hold of your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. Where our prayers fall short, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.